This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, it's being billed as the Big Ten versus Team USA. It's called the USA College Challenge to be staged this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the IU Natatorium in Indianapolis. Noteworthy? You bet. Veteran Hoosier swim coach Ray Luz, who has had his current Hoosier men's team allotted the number one ranking in the country, the women 12th, serves as the head coach, of course, for the Big Ten. That's why Ray is joining us tonight. Another prestigious honor bestowed upon Coach Ray, who, as you know, served as an assistant women's coach at the Rio Olympics last summer for Team USA. This weekend's duel will be the first of its kind, really, with regard to, well, showcasing the top collegiate talent. And IU, very well represented, I might add. The best the NCAA has to offer against the top talent from the best swimming nation in the world. A little bit later tonight, the reigning Women's Big Ten Coach of the Year, Terry Morin, will drop in for a little conversation well into the early stages of season number 3 for the Hoosier women. And preseason rank, they are number 23 for a first time, really, in program history. A team that returns all five of its starters from a team that won its first NCAA game last March in 33 years. And we'll talk a little about what is going on, especially off a very solid 29-point win, exhibition win against UIndy the other day, and this weekend season opening games. Presbyterian coming up Friday night and Vanderbilt on Sunday as we officially tip off the 2016-17 campaign. It's all ahead next on Sports Talk. Tonight we are live from Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, along with producer Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Juwan and Mike Glasscop, and all of our sponsors on this very important election night, 2016. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith. And that in mind, the polls are now closed. Decision day and Election Central coming up on the airwaves forever, how long it takes to bring them all home tonight. Keith Klein and Jim Inman, a little programming FYI, and they will be following us a little bit later tonight at 7 o'clock. Well, alongside, we talked to him when he came back from Rio with memories, and now another memory or two coming up this weekend at the IU Natatorium. And before we talk a little about the start of the regular season for your Hoosiers, how doggone tickled are you to be the head coach of the Big Ten, and what I just mentioned, the showcase, really, and a big shot in the arm to the sport of swimming this weekend, Ray?
This has been in the planning stages for 2 years. So all the way back to 2014, the national team director approached a couple of the Big Ten coaches, his name is Frank Bush, and said, hey, I'd like to do an all-star meet at the Natatorium, Big Ten against the U.S. national team. So it's so exciting to have this finally here, and it's a reality. And now we're trying to figure out a way to win.
And that might be difficult, but then again, it might not be, because we talk about the huge delegation of your team. And you have some rather close familiarity with the members of your Big Ten team, and that's your current day Hoosier team.
Correct. So we have seven men going, and we have five women from our varsity, but we also have Cody Miller representing the U.S. national team, and Zane Grothy. So on the men's side, I have to try to figure out how to, you know, how to beat two of our own that train with us. So that's an interesting dynamic.
I was going to ask you, I mean, you've had your hands full with those great wins earlier in the season, Texas, Florida. I mean, you were taking care of business with Kentucky and Tennessee. We've had swimmers winning Big Ten awards as far as the regular season is concerned. Is this game week alone just for you to get ready for this meeting? But how much of a planning scheme have you put into it since this event was announced?
Most of my day today has been dedicated to this event. So today we had to really finalize our itinerary, our lineups, because the lineup's not due till Saturday, but the TV today so that they could start preparing. So it's going to be live on the Big Ten Network at 4:30 on Saturday and then at 11:30 on Sunday. And what was interesting is USA Swimming is a partner with NBC, and obviously the Big Ten Network controls our television, and the NBC wanted this, and the Big Ten Network kept it because it was their right. So I think that's pretty exciting.
Now, do we have a double duel, men and women? And then, and then what? And then you're going to combine the score, or how's this going to?
I'm not sure what's going to be done there. I think we'll score the men and the women separately, and probably combine it as well. But it's done over 2 days, and this is scoring. The scoring is the same as the collegiate format, so it's 9-4-3-2-1. So you're scoring to five places, and this will be done over 2 days.
Well, I know you have an outstanding staff here at Indiana U, but how did you go about selecting, Ray, your staff for this two-day event at the Natatorium this weekend?
Well, it was pretty simple. They went by Big Ten finish, so that's how they, you know, put the staff together. So you've got Michigan, myself, Indiana, Ohio State, Minnesota, and those are your official staff members. In reality, other coaches are more than welcome to come. They're going to be on deck trying to help us beat Team USA.
How many volunteers do they give you an idea? I mean, this is, like I say, this is showcasing some of the best in the world, because swimming is numero uno in the world as far as USA. How many volunteers and behind-the-scenes people get involved in an event like this?
Quite a few. So last year, the duel in the pool, so it was USA against Europe,
okay,
was held in Indianapolis. And basically, this is kind of the same order of events. A little bit earlier in the calendar, that meet was over. It was in December, and that's where Cody Miller set two American records. And that's where his star began to shine, really. That was his breakout meet. He beat a former gold medalist head-to-head from Hungary. And this is kind of the same deal. And Indiana's a big swimming state. It's obviously a big basketball state, but swimming is hugely popular. The Natatorium seats 5,000 people, and for the high school state meets, they really come close to filling it, if not filling it. So they've decided to come to Indiana because they know they'll get a good crowd.
Well, and you and I had talked about this. It's also come 2017, the host of the NCAAs, and
yep.
You know, it's going to be just an outstanding, you know, spotlight on the sport. Event-wise, you said you got to set out the itinerary. Now, when will you grab hold of all of the your team? Are you going up there? Let's see. It starts on Saturday.
Correct.
You're going up Friday? Have you?
Yep. So we have a meet against Cincinnati at 2 o'clock on Friday. So the majority, almost everybody is not competing in that meet. But we have Blake is going to swim a relay, and Lily's going to swim the very first relay right at 2 o'clock. And then we're going to depart at 2:30 and head up to the Natatorium and do a quick little practice there. And then we head to the hotel. Things really officially get started on Saturday, where we'll have a coaches meeting at the Natatorium, a team practice Saturday morning, and then we have some team meetings before we head over Saturday afternoon.
So there's a lot on the plate and a lot to get organized yet. And again, it's going to be the short course yards consisting of what? A couple of sessions then,
yep,
correct?
Yeah, so it'll be short course yards, which normally these, you know, it's kind of an international meet, but they're, you know, since it's against college all-stars, they're doing it in the course that we're presently competing in.
Now, will the scoring, Ray, be different than, say, a regular collegiate duel or an Olympic event or something along those lines? How will that work?
It's the same scoring as in college, but this is over 2 days, so there'll be more points to be had. And then there's no diving. This is strictly a swimming event. So the Big Ten teams, I think, have an advantage in the sense of we're deeper. We were bringing more people because every university needed to be represented. That was part of our criteria.
Sure.
And the Team USA has kind of the quality. So basically, if you win an event, but say that, you know, the other team takes second, third, and fourth, you're only winning that event by a point in reality. So
Well, it's interesting, and again, we'll have ticket information in just a second for the big event coming up, the USA College Challenge, and well, the head coach with us of the Hoosiers, they're doing awfully well. The men right atop the country, numero uno. The women are number 12. Both are off to great starts in the winter, and a number of them, about 14 or so, that wear the cream and crimson, will be competing for the Big Ten this weekend. We'll get more from Ray and have lots more to talk about relevant to swimming and diving as we continue along on a Tuesday night. Election night, don't forget Decision Day. Election Central coming up with Keith Klein and Jim Inman at the top of the hour. About 19 after the hour right now. Back with more live from Yogi's after these timeouts. You're listening to Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. Live tonight from Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, our home away from home, as we get more conversation with Ray Lewes relevant to what's been going on early season. But again, we're talking about Indiana's dominating the roster for USA College Challenge coming up this weekend. The Big Ten against the best from Team USA. And Ray, talk to me a little about, you know, we talked about the impact and back when this was announced, but what does this do, a shot in the arm for the sport? You talked about the popularity in the state, but talk to me about how this will really, really enhance the sport itself.
Well, we're on live TV to 90 million people, and that's always really important on a Saturday afternoon and then a Sunday midday, and, you know, during football season, and I think that's a big step forward. So the sport has really been taking huge steps forward ever since Michael Phelps came on the stage. So this is great. It's different. It's a chance to showcase not just the national team, but one of the best collegiate conferences in the NCAA.
You know, as the weeks and by the way, is Mr. Phelps still steadfast about staying in retirement?
Yeah, I think so.
You think that's really going to come to fruition?
Huh? Yeah.
Hey, tickets, by the way, are on sale for the event. You can go to usaswimming.org. And we have information relevant to the ticket prices on iuhoosiers.com. $35 all session now. That's both days for adults, $20 for kids age 12 and younger. Single tickets, single session tickets, if you will, Saturday and Sunday, are priced at $20 for adults and $12 for children. Well, now, again, best of luck to you. That'll be another feather in your cap. And how great is this to, man, you've done it since you've been here, get the doggone toughest duels early season, but you knew you were going to have potential to be pretty doggone good, both sides, men and women. But how neat is it to be right now as we move through November, Ray, number one in the country?
Well, we've been dueling the University of Texas ever since year two. And we'd beaten them on the women's side, but we'd never beaten them on the men's. And so I think we had lost 13 in a row until we beat them. So if at first you don't succeed, try again. But you got to go against the best. And they're two-time reigning national champion just in the last 2 years. So you know you're going against somebody really good when you go against Texas.
Well, no question about that, and that really set the table. But, you know, I look across, and let's just take the men, for example. Some of the fastest times turned in. Surprising, not surprising with the talent that you have?
Well, we're fortunate. The kids that we have are really developing nicely. They weren't the best recruits in the country, but they're getting better significantly. So they look good now, but they've really, really improved. And credit goes to the kids, the swimmers, and the assistant coaches. They've really worked hard to, you know, raise the level, the bar.
I'm not going to call it they had to knock off the rust from Rio, but talk to me a little about the progression of your Olympians as you see them now every day in practice, in competition, coming off of a great Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Were they slow afoot? Were they back eager to get ready and rock and roll?
They've come back great and with a lot of confidence. They've infused our program with that. And I've talked to some of the opposing coaches who are my friends, and they said, boy, your team is confident. It's a huge difference, they said, over previous years. Just with the way they hold themselves, the way they race, you can tell it's over at certain points.
You know, and I think it's something they really embrace, is it not? I mean, yeah, they got a target. Everybody in the country, yeah. Every dual meet you compete against, swim in, they're going to try to beat an Olympic star.
Yeah.
Especially a medal winner.
We sort of warned the men's team in particular, hey, you got to be on your game now because you got a target on your back, and they were very comfortable with it. They handled it well.
You know, another thing, too, that she was a young lady that represented her country, and Kennedy Goss in the 800, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, but she has been one of many, and it's been star-studded, really, as far as the Big Ten athletes go. The week of the season, 3.5 weeks into a competition, or just a little less than a month. But Kennedy Goss doing some nice things, and she'll be on your Big Ten team this weekend.
Yeah. She's had a wonderful beginning. This is the best she's ever started a season. And she had a meet against Kentucky and Tennessee, where she swam four of the harder events that we offer and was sharp in them all. And that is not easy to do. So basically, it's like playing an entire basketball game, not getting subbed out, and then being on your game the whole time.
I noticed that, both of them, but I noticed the 200 free in particular. My gosh, 148?
Yeah.
That's flat flying now.
She's a good 200 freestyler, and that's you know, she was on the 800 freestyle relay that won the bronze, and she played an important role there. So that's kind of her specialty, if you will.
Yeah, and a few others are certainly surfacing. As we get, and a couple of them, Gia D'Alessandro, we talking about Kennedy Goss, of course, Lily, but you have Brooklyn Snodgrass, is she going to be competing?
Yep. And, Brooklyn's come back strong off her redshirt year, and she's excited to be representing the Hoosiers again.
I haven't seen her, but what's that do, that red shirt, for her confidence?
You know, it was a tough one for her because it didn't work out as far as her making the Canadian Olympic team. But, you know, she's like a new person. She's having a good season, and she really wants to finish up her IU career on a high note. And there's no better competitor than Brooklyn. When you get between the lane lines in a dual meet or a championship, she's really – really tough.
You know, there are a couple of young men that were pretty good swimmers, one at each high school. Max Irwin, of course, the state champion when he swam as a member of the Maroon and Gold at Bloomington North, and then Ian Finnerty, who has just come on gangbusters. Talk about their progression and where they are right now. And I know Max had a spectacular meet here a couple of days ago, and Ian has been right there, but let's talk about Max Irwin and where he is and where he's going.
You know, I'm really proud about Max for more than just the water. Number one, he's already got a job at Crane lined up. So he's a super smart guy, and he's got a great job already decided for himself. So his future is really looking bright in the most important area. And then he's a great leader. He really cares about his teammates. He's a captain this year. He's involved in the student government within the athletic department. Max does a lot, and he's got a tremendous air of respect that he emits to his teammates. And then Ian's just a sophomore, but he'll be on the Big Ten All-Star squad. Ian is so talented, and once he begins to put that together, Cody Miller, who trains with Ian a lot, was saying, boy, he might just break all my records. So Ian's got a bright future ahead of him, too. It's just a little earlier in his career than with Max.
Well, and, too, something like this will enhance not only his – we know he's very competitive, but the bigger the stage, and especially the, you know, early in his sophomore year, could do nothing but just be great asset to the young man, can it not?
Yeah, Ian needs experience. So he's learning how to swim at the big meets still, where he's just as comfortable as he was at the high school state meet or Big Ten. So this is good for him. He needs to go up against the best in the world. And his major competition is Cody Miller, and they know each other well.
When's the next duel at Councilman Billingsley when you get done beating Team USA this weekend?
Well, it's Friday at 2 o'clock, and, and basically nobody going to the All-Star meet is competing in that. So that's against Cincinnati, and we're expecting – you know, a very big challenge because we're swimming shorthanded, but we'll have all our divers, which is good. I'm sure Drew and his army will take care of business on the boards.
We're gonna have Drew in, and we see that Mr. Hickson's doing well, and a few of the other divers, Jessica Parado, over on the other side. Well, give me a scout report. What are you hearing from Team USA? Beatable with the loaded guns that you have and the bullets ready to fire into the water?
The scouting report is our Big Ten women have a really good chance to win. The Big Ten men, we're going to have to win with depth, and it's going to be close. We need to work hard to make it close. There's certain relays we feel good about winning, but the USA men have some guys that are going to win events. So when that happens, we got to get the rest of the points that we can get. So we got to use our depth to our advantage.
Well, again, this weekend at the IU Natatorium, the USA College Challenge with Ray Luz, the Hoosier head man, taking care of the Big Ten, as competition will start at 6 o'clock on Saturday, or what time?
It's 4:30 now.
4:30, okay. And then, did Sunday stay the same?
Yep, Sunday's the same.
And that'll be at about 11:30.
Yeah.
So there you go. And again, iuhoosiers.com to click and purchase tickets and help support the Big Ten against the rest of the best. Well, we'll be talking again as the winter now approaches and we get into the really strong part of the conference season. Looking forward to following the Hoosier swimmers, men and women, and the divers all winter long. Ray, thanks so much for taking some time out of a busy week. I didn't know that duel was coming up this in addition to everything else you got. You're doing well.
Busy's good.
Huh? Busy is good. You had a nice meal tonight. You're all set, or you got it to go anyway. So yeah. I'll let you go and have your dinner, and we'll talk with Terry Morin, Little Indiana Basketball. My golly, the cupboard is plenty full for the IU women. They're off to a decent start as far as fitting the pieces together. We'll talk about how far with Coach Terry. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
You're good.
Welcome back, everyone. Don't forget our Election Decision Day, Election Central, coming up. All of the facts and figures of the local races. Obviously, it is Decision Day here in the U.S. of A., not only in Bloomington, but across the great length and breadth of our country. Keith Klein and Jim Inman will be having all of the facts and figures, and they will be staying on as long as it takes to get you all of the results. Well, you saw Terry Morin joining us, the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year. My golly, you know, when we recapped last year, so many good things. There were going to be table setters for you, Terry, as you approach the 2016-2017 season. Here you are, one exhibition, two games that count, starting with Presbyterian Friday, Vanderbilt Sunday at 2 o'clock, but talk about the formation of the team and the impact that last year, first of all, had on this year's team with so many back.
Well, you hit it on the head. You know, we're considered now a veteran team. All of our starters are back, and then, you know, we added some new pieces, and one just happens to be a fifth-year senior that has a tremendous amount of experience. And then we also add a transfer in T. Albert that has already played at least 1 year of collegiate basketball but sat out last year due to transfer rules from Marquette. And then a couple freshmen that I think have a real chance at helping us But as you mentioned, there's no question that the experience of what we were able to accomplish last year is going to help this group. You know, right now, Joe, and again, it's coach talk, but we're just trying to, one, deal with the expectations.
Sure.
Primarily because Indiana women's basketball has never had the expectations of what we're faced with right now. We're learning how to deal with that. We're learning how to, with all the new pieces, blend all the old with the new, and just continue to get better every day. And, you know, we understand this, that, you know, every minute, every moment matters. And, you know, really leaning on our leadership of our seniors, particularly Lex Gassian and Carly McBride, but, you know, certainly we have some other veterans that have played a lot of minutes for us and know just how difficult it is to do what we did last year. And that's, you know, that's the task, to figure out how we can replicate, but how we can do more and exceed, you know, what we were able to do last year.
You know, it's a real tribute to you, though, Terry, and this is only your third year, but this is something that you wanted to embrace. I don't know if you had a timetable when you came over from Indiana State, but it's been a relatively short period of time of success. But this is what you want right now, and I know it maybe sound like a dumb question, but are you surprised that it came this quick? It says and speaks volumes about who you've been recruiting, your staff, and obviously how they have adhered to your teachings.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and you know, I think it's a lot about those players more than anything. When we first got here, the one thing that we wanted to do was build the culture of, and the culture sure. was really about who we were, what we were going to be about, who we were going to be about, what we were going, you know, to be every day, and that was whether we were in between those lines or whether we were in the classroom or whether we were out in the community giving back. And so we built, I thought, a really tremendous foundation of relationships with our players, and that helped. You know, the relationship part of it helped a lot. But to say that, you know, I've said this before, we never wanted to put a number last year on the wins, and there was never a timetable for me. Because, like I said, I never wanted to limit our players from what they could achieve. I just knew that you know, one of the things we had to do was really build a foundation of trust amongst my staff and amongst those players, and we needed to build a love in that locker room, that it didn't really matter who was going to score, who was going to get the rebounds. It was really just going to come down to being about, you know, the 14 or last year, the 10 of those guys that were yeah. in that circle every day and that believed in one another and really, as I said, fell in love with each other having success. And that's what we were able to do. And I remind our kids that, as I did just today in that circle, that's who we were last year. And even though we have some new pieces, we got to be able to understand and really embrace the we factor and not the I factor. And you know, we're stronger when we play as a team, and we don't care who gets the credit just as long as we get the win.
Well, and that's the IU women's definition of team chemistry. Well put there. You talk about the coaching staff. You have some new faces this year.
We do. You know, anytime you have a little bit of success, it seems like, you know, we're in the business, the profession that other universities will, you know, they pay attention. And,
sure.
And Todd Starkey is now the new head women's coach at Kent State, in the MAC, which we're excited about. And then Curtis Lloyd is down in Shreveport, Louisiana, at Shreveport, as the head coach down there. And so really happy for those guys. And, you know, we're supporting them from afar here in Bloomington and wish them nothing but the very best. But certainly they were a large part, you know, of the success that we had last year. And, you know, Todd did his part with overseeing what we were doing defensively and did a tremendous job and was just great to have over there on the sideline because, you know, he had been a head coach and so brought a lot to the table. And then Curtis just had a tremendous relationship with all of our players, was kind of the father figure, if you will, he was great at just being able to put his arms around some of those kids and tell them it was going to be okay. And so we had a tremendous chemistry. We had a tremendous time in our suite sweet there at Cook, just getting along and trusting each other and really enjoying the moment with those players. And now fast forward to this year, and now I have two new staff members, and Janice Banks, who I've said this before, I think she's going to be a rock star in our business. She's young. This is her, I think, fifth year of coaching at this level collegiately. Played at Ben Davis High School and then played at Wisconsin. So very familiar with the Big Ten. And Jay is a tremendous recruiter. And, you know, tomorrow is a big day for us. It's a signing day, and we have five new members. And she was a very important, integral part in the reason those five young ladies have decided to come to Bloomington.
Wow.
And then Glenn Box is coming to us from St. Louis University, but has had stints at Akron and Western Michigan, and has been on the men's side. So another guy that has tremendous amount of experience. Now we just really enjoy being around each other. We got great chemistry. All of them bring something different, strength to the table, we've really enjoyed. In the short time, just working together and trying to get our crew ready for Friday night.
Well, as you say, Terry Morin joining us tonight, Presbyterian to kick off things Friday night at 7 at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. That took some doing for me to remember that first fish tonight the other night. We got it in, but but let's just stay there and talk about Simon Scott Assembly Hall, a great venerable venue that was and has been now turned into a basketball palace.
Well, again, it's just exceeded everybody's expectations. We knew it was going to be great because anything they build here in Indiana is great, from the architects to the guys that build it. And we worked it seemed like every day, you know, with those guys. We kind of lived their hours of walking into Cook early and leaving late. And so we had kind of a great view of watching that thing being built. And, here's what I love about it. I 40 years it's been since what anything's been done to the hall. And so it sure, it did need a facelift. Some of the things that from the concourse to the ramps to the escalators now to women's basketball or women's restrooms, being expanded,
sure.
The video board. What I appreciate the most about it is when you're between those lines down there on that floor, it feels the same. A year ago we had a tremendous amount of success on that floor, and so did our men. You wanted the feel, the tradition, to stay the same, and they got that part of it right, because I've said this before, once you're down there on the sidelines, as we were on Sunday, it feels just like Assembly Hall, but very impressive. And I think what it's going to do is just increase the fan experience, with that the video board and all the memorabilia now that's outside on the concourses for our guys to be able, our fans to be able to walk around and just see the history, of Indiana basketball, I think is really a neat thing as well.
No question about that. And that home court streak last year, it resembled that start you got the other day against UIndy, 17-0 to start the game. You were 17-0 at home last year, and you go off play someone other than yourselves. And, that was a scintillating start. Just some thoughts and reflections on, for a first game, a tune-up game, and now things get real. They start counting come Friday.
Well, I think we're glad it was a tune-up game. And even though the score probably doesn't reflect – how much work we still got to do, as a team, but it does give you a starting point for some of the things we're doing offensively, some of the things defensively, and it gives our kids a great visual with film to some of the things that we got to get much better. And when I say much better, by Friday, we got to really hone in on specific things on the defensive end as well as the offensive end. And, come Friday, and then we have a quick turnaround Saturday practice, and then boom, Sunday here we have, Vanderbilt. So, have to mature very fast here and grow up. Here in the next 48 hours and be able to, again, take some of the things that we watched today in practice correct them, and be better tomorrow and Thursday before before, as you mentioned, it gets real. It starts. You know, those games start to count Friday.
You know, Terry, something we've seen now out of your clubs here over the first 2 years is the development of depth, and that is so sorely needed. And I'm talking about up front, backcourt, but we saw that and we've seen it, and I think you got an early glimpse how deep and how depth blessed are you, because I noticed you played 14, 12
sure.
of them scored.
Right.
How's this depth early season as you fit the pieces together?
Right. And I think that's the difficult thing, is because we do have much more depth than we had a year ago, and we have some different pieces, and now it's trying to figure out not just the starters but rotations. And you know, I think one of the things we have to be very careful of is playing too many of those guys, and because I think what then happens is that some of your kids that you know are probably more game ready right now, or ready at this level, you know, you're bringing them in and out, and they really can't get into any sort of a rhythm. So we're going to have to be really careful on you know, our rotation, and you know, here's what I do know, though: results matter, and we get to see that every day in practice, and we know what all of our kids are capable of and their skill set. You know, there's no question that once we start here Friday, Sunday, you know, some of those kids that maybe perhaps got minutes on Sunday are going to be limited, and you know, that's one of the things about what we have. There's 200 minutes, as I told them, in a game, and they all want to play a lot of minutes, but we're going to have, you know, some of those guys are going to have to sacrifice some of that time that they think that they deserved, and give it up for the guys that are producing. And and like I said, the result part of it matters for us as a staff, and we're always going to give the nod to, you know, the group that's going to play hardest defensively and rebound the ball, and then is going to work the best offensively. And sometimes those aren't your best players. It's just the best five that play well together. So we're going to have a tall task ahead of us, but really feel good about the pieces and our opportunities that we have. That are going to be coming off the bench for us.
I wanted to ask about two of those pieces because, well, they're not crusty veterans, but they've played at the major college level, kind of biding their time, chomping at the bit to get rolling again. Tia Albert from Marquette and Amber Dean from over in nearby Dayton. Talk a little about the impact that they will have bringing in some major college experience on a squad that, as you say, is getting better with its depth and maybe influencing the younger players that you have.
Well, let's talk about Tia first. Tia, as I mentioned, is a transfer from Marquette, backup point guard. Backup point guard who's going to – you know, the nice thing – you know, Tyra was a kid that played 38 minutes for us last year.
Yeah.
And we had to start managing her practices more than anything, because we knew how many minutes she was going to play in a game. And, you know, she's not a kid that likes to come out. But, you know, we feel like with Tia, if we could get her to get to a point where she can, you know, keep our crew on the floor organized. She does have a different skill set than Tyra, because they're two different types of point guards. Tia's very explosive, doesn't need a ball screen to break any of her defenders down off the bounce, which makes her unique. Now, the thing that Tyra does is she shoots it at a more consistent clip from the outside. And right now, just because of the experience that Tyra has gained and playing in big games and big moments, you know, she just has a better handle right now on the system and really keeping us organized. And I think Tia will get there. Tia is very bright. She's an intelligent player and has a high IQ, but you know, Tia sometimes can get a little bit ahead of herself, and she likes to play it. And I like to play fast, but she likes to play a little bit faster at times than I would prefer. And so I feel really good though about her growth here as a player, and I think when it's all said and done, she's going to be very, very significant piece to why we're going to have the success. Hopefully that we're going to have. And then Amber Dean is a veteran, fifth-year kid from Dayton, played in an Elite Eight, played in a Sweet 16, everything that we hope to do with this program. She has that type of experience, and so she's another wing player that we started on Sunday because she had been very consistent the week prior to in practice. I think the two things that fans need to watch with Amber and her skill set is that she's a terrific outside scorer. She's had a very, very consistent from the three-point line, but has the ability also to draw, that likes to play downhill, likes to attack. This was a kid that walked in, you know, was a top 50 player in going into her senior year at Dayton, considered by many as one of the top 50 collegiate players in the country. So, again, but keep in mind now she's been, you know, she got injured, so that's one of the reasons why she was available to come to Indiana, because she does have a year of eligibility left. So a kid that hasn't played in probably a year not a year and a half quite, but over a year, she hasn't played collegiately. So I think she's still trying to get acclimated to our system. She's trying to get her feet wet, and she's trying to, you know, get back into, you know, playing at this level and what it takes to play at this level. But we're excited about, you know, certainly what she potentially could bring to us.
Well, and we haven't even touched. I mean, you know, that's how deep this team is and how exciting it's going to be to see develop and play as a team. When we haven't even mentioned Taishi Towner, along with Alexis Gassion, Carly McBride, one of my favorite players, Amanda Cahill, one of the big frontline players for India. I mean, this is so exciting, and an exciting time of year to, you know, get it rolling. I know you've got a zillion things going through your mind. But it's going to be so neat to follow all of the women this year.
Well, we appreciate that. We do. We feel like we got a great group. But here's the thing, Joe. You know, the past is, again, we can only benefit from the experience.
Sure.
But we can't go back to what happened a year ago.
Nope.
and just think that because we show up to Assembly Hall or Cook Hall every day that, you know, we've arrived. We'll never arrive. And we always have to have the mindset of, you know, having a little bit of a chip. We're still out to try to prove people, you know, that maybe think that last year was, you know, just kind of one of those, we stumbled into that success. You know, we certainly don't want to, we want to have longevity. We want to have shelf life at being able to get into the NCAA tournament. And again, this is another opportunity because of our veterans that we do have. But it's going to be difficult. Getting into the tournament is one of the most difficult things,
sure.
You know, we've had to do and endure. And I think our non-conference schedule is going to set us up for that. We're going to go on the road. We're going to play some really, really good competition there's no question that's going to prepare us for Big Ten play.
Well, Presbyterian at 7 on Friday. Vandy comes in at 2. And, yes, you're right. Each team writes its own identity. And that's what's going to be the neat thing to see, what this team writes down. And wins and losses, wins will take care of themselves. So. Hey, it's always great talking hoops with you, and this is just the first of many meetings here as we go on into the winter. Terry Moore joining us on Sports Talk. We'll be back to wrap it up after these timeouts. You're listening to Sports Talk live from Yogi's. Hey, by the way, ordering from Yogi's has just gotten even easier. Go to the website, yogis.com, or download the app, browse the menu, place an order. Quick and simple, just like that. Our employee of the week, by the way, is Hope Marshall, and she does a bang-up job here in my favorite local neighborhood bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. In the zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6. Regional championship from Newburgh with the Panthers and the Knights. 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk and Coach Mo. And don't forget Decision Day, Election Central coming up at the top of the hour. Keith Klein, Jim Inman, and a host of hundreds doing what they do well. And obviously tonight, for all of us in the U.S. of A and locally in Bloomington, Monroe County, very big. For Will Boatman, Mike Glasscott, Joanna Glasscott, everyone here at Yogi's, have a great week. We'll see you next week on Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone.